We have so much that we've received from our Reformed fathers. One of them is our view of Scripture, that we look to God's Word for our final authority in what to believe and how we should live. If you will turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians, to chapter 9. We're going to begin reading at verse 1 and read through verse 8. And I'll share some special things with you as we read this scripture. Now, we do believe that the Bible is the only infallible rule for our faith and practice. Therefore, to know God's will and God's way, we go to His Word. Listen to what God may be saying to you. Now, here's the circumstances under which St. Paul is writing. There's been a great famine in Jerusalem. Much suffering has gone on. St. Paul has been collecting funds from the Christians up in northern Greece, Macedonia, in the Greek mainland, Achaeus, and in other places, to take back to the believers in Jerusalem. He calls them saints. The Bible does not use the word saint as you and I think of it. We think of a saint as being somebody really special. The New Testament calls all the Christians saints, the hagioi, the holy ones. And so he's writing to the Corinthians and saying, I'm coming, and you told me you were going to have an offering ready, and I don't really trust you. So I'm sending some people in front of me so that when I get there, you really will have it ready. Listen to what God says. Now, it is superfluous for me to write to you about the offering for the saints, for I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Achaia has been ready since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. But I am sending the brethren so that our boasting about you may not prove vain in this case, so that you may be ready as I said you would be, lest if some Macedonians come with me and find that you are not ready, we be humiliated, to say nothing of you, for being so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brethren to go on to you before me and arrange in advance for this gift you have promised, so that it may be ready not as an exaction, but as a willing gift. The point is this. Now, our sermon this morning is on how to make a boomerang work. And here's the boomerang principle. The point is this. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Now, here's how you make the boomerang work. Each one must do as he has made up his mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And actually, the Greek word there would be better translated hilarious. God loves a hilarious giver. Now, the promise, the boomerang promises, and God is able, number one, to provide you with every blessing in abundance. Number two, so that you may always have enough of everything. And number three, and may provide in abundance for every good work. You know, that's nice, isn't it, to be able to provide in abundance for every good work? I appreciated what John Splinter said about caring for others and having enough to help. There's an announcement in your bulletin about somebody needing a washing machine and some firewood and something else. That's John's announcement. John's been working with a family in inner city for several years, and he's stuck right with them, helping them. So if you can meet any of those needs, you call the church office. Our meditation is entitled, Making a Boomerang Work. Each one must do as he has made up his mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, a hilarious giver. Let us pray. Our Father, thank you for this holy word. Use it to open our hearts and minds to new dimensions, new perspectives. But we ask it in the Savior's name. Amen. Next Sunday is Commitment Sunday. Next Sunday, all of us will be making our financial commitment to the 1984 budget of Central. There will be people who will not sign a pledge card. There will be people who won't even give. That is their financial commitment. So one way or another, everybody will make a commitment, for good or bad. But let me tell you quite frankly, I am not really interested in a budget. God didn't call me into the ministry to raise budgets. He called me into the ministry to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And budgets happen to be a byproduct of that. By the same token, God didn't call you to become a Christian. God didn't call you to be a part of His church in order to raise a budget. No, God called you to become a Christian because He loves you and He wants you to have eternal life. So God isn't interested in church budgets any more than I am. But let me tell you what God is interested in. God is interested in your relationship to His Son, Jesus Christ. God is interested in how much you trust Him. God is interested in your obedience. God is interested in whether or not you mean what you say when you say you love Him and trust Him. Do you? Do you love God? Do you trust Him? Dr. Elton Trueblood, in one of his little books, tells us that you can learn a lot about a man by looking at his books. If you look at the books in his library, you learn a lot about his intellectual interests. If you look at his date book, you'll learn a lot about his time commitments and his time interests. And if you look at his checkbook, you'll find out where his heart is. Really is. Well, I don't know about you, but there are a lot of my check stubs I hope God won't ever see. Is that true for you? God will be able to see where our hearts really are, what our loves really are like when He looks at our check stubs. And you and I are going to be required to give an account to God for how we've used not only our talents and abilities, but how we've used our financial resources. And I want to say to you young people, you're going to be responsible too. You think, well, I don't have any money. You do too. You make money in babysitting, different things. You have an allowance. And God's going to hold you accountable for that. And I hope every one of you young people will tithe and you'll sign a commitment card making that pledge to God that you're going to give 10% of all you make to Him. And this morning I want to talk about boomerangs. I want to give you three things about boomerangs, and each begins with the letter P. Back when I was a boy, my very favorite aunt gave me a genuine, honest-to-goodness, truly imported, finely grained wood boomerang, imported from Australia. And it was the most wonderful present I think I ever got as a child. It seemed to me at the time that all of my young life I had heard about these wonderful instruments, and I was eager to learn how to use it. And I would hold it in my hand, and the wood was so polished and smooth. It was a beautiful piece of wood. And I had two fears about that fine instrument. First, I was afraid that if I threw it too hard, I would lose it. And second, I was afraid if I did throw it, it wouldn't ever come back to me. Now, because of those fears, I couldn't make that boomerang work. I didn't throw it very hard, so it didn't go very far, and it gave no indication that it was about to turn around and come back to me. Well, you can imagine how disappointed a little boy would be that he has something he always wanted, but now he can't make it work. And my grandfather watched me struggle with that boomerang for a while, and then he came to my aid. Son, he said, if you want the boomerang to work, you have to throw it hard. And with that, he gave it a mighty heave, and it went spinning off into the distance. And my heart sank. I thought, oh, I've lost my boomerang. I'll never get it back. But lo and behold, suddenly the boomerang began to arch and spin back to us and landed right at our feet. I couldn't believe it. I was beside myself with delight. Now that brings us to the first P. That day I learned the boomerang principle. And that principle is the bigger and harder you throw it, the better it comes back. Well, what I want to share with you this morning is that our stewardship to God and our financial resources operate on the boomerang principle. St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and this is what he said, "He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." And a lot of us this morning are violating the boomerang principle. We're sowing sparingly. As a consequence, we are reaping sparingly. We're just not trusting the principle. Fear is keeping us from exercising the principle. We're not throwing the spiritual boomerang hard enough and not trusting God enough. Is that true in your life? You see, a lot of us this morning are not throwing our spiritual, our financial boomerang hard enough. We're living in fear. We're giving tiny portions. We're fearfully putting out small parts and offering God much less than a tithe of our resources. And as a result, God's spiritual boomerang isn't working in our lives. We wonder, what's wrong? Well, we're not trusting God. We're afraid. We're not committing ourselves totally to Him. And just as I discovered, the boomerang won't work if you throw it, and if you don't throw it according to the boomerang principle. Does that make sense to you? He who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and by the same token, he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. That's the boomerang principle. But now let's suppose that you do trust God. Let's suppose you do so bountifully. And let's suppose you tithe as the Bible teaches us to do as a minimum. Will the boomerang come back? And this brings us to the second P that I want to talk about this morning, and it is the boomerang promise. The boomerang promise. In our scripture this morning, St. Paul talks about the boomerang promise, and he gives us three plenties. Twice he uses the word abundant in one sentence. Three plenties. First, he says there will be plenty of blessings. He writes, and God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance. Now, that's one of the boomerang promises when you trust God and really throw the boomerang. Or to put it another way, that is one of the promises God makes to us when we tithe, when we sow bountifully. Are you experiencing the blessings of God in your life? And a lot of us are not. We're not experiencing the joy and the blessings that God wants to give us. You see, there's a condition operating here. If we trust God, if we are obedient in our stewardship, then God promises blessings in abundance. But if we're not being obedient, then we're blocking God. We're blocking the promises, the blessings that He wants to give us. Now, what is a blessing? Does it mean if you give 10%, you'll be financially remunerated? The answer is no. If that's your motive for giving, forget it. Now, I've known many people who have given and have been blessed richly in financial matters. I know people who've tithed faithfully when they've had very little and God's blessed them and made provision for their every needs. But that's not always true in the financial sense. The fact is God has many blessings. It may be, for example, that He blesses you with a happy husband-wife relationship. And a lot of you are having struggles and you're not relating well in your life together, and it's because God can't bless you. You're blocking His blessings. Or it may be how your children are turning out. And you're blocking the blessings that God wants to give in your family. It may be you see that God is protecting you with blessings you don't even know about. It may be that you aren't sick or you aren't in financial risk or something isn't going badly. And it may not be until we get to heaven that we realize how God has protected us and blessed us. So the promise of blessings. So the first plenty of the boomerang promise is that God promises to bless us. The second plenty is this. God promises that we will always have enough of everything. And that means we'll have plenty of everything for ourselves. Do you know why many Christians don't tithe? It's because they are afraid that they won't have what they want or need for their own purposes. But the fact is, God gives us a boomerang promise. He says that not only will we have blessings, but that we'll have plenty of everything for ourselves. I don't know about you, but that's important to me. I really don't want to fail my family. I don't want to fail to make all the provision for my family that I feel is necessary. But God makes me a boomerang promise. He promises that if I sow bountifully in my giving to Him, He'll make sure that I have enough of everything. Now, I don't mean everything I want, but everything I need will be provided abundantly. And that's true in your life. You can trust God. If you are faithful to Him in stewardship, if you're sowing bountifully to Him, He makes you a boomerang promise. He promises that you will have enough of everything. But there is a third boomerang promise. You see, not only does God promise us a blessing, not only does He promise us that we'll have enough for all our needs, He goes on to promise us that He will make provision so that we will have enough to give to other good works. St. Paul puts it this way, and God is able to provide in abundance for every good work. Are there some things you'd like to give to this morning? Are there some things that you would like to provide for? Are there some projects, good, worthwhile, noble, godly things that you'd like to be able to support? Well, let me tell you a secret. When we follow the boomerang principle, God promises us that we're going to have enough to have an abundance for those good works. I don't know about you, but that's exciting to me, and I found that true in my life. Sydney and I don't tithe anymore. We stopped tithing some years ago. Now we give more than the tithe. And I found, and we have found, that this stewardship principle, the boomerang principle, really works. God blesses us. He provides for all of our needs, and best of all, He makes it possible for us to support many things that we believe in and are interested in and want to give to. Well, that's how it works. I have the boomerang promise that if I sow bountifully, God will give me plenty of blessings, plenty for myself, plenty for others. So first, there's the boomerang principle that you reap what you sow. That as hard as you pitch it, that's how it comes back. And second, the boomerang promise. Plenty for blessings, plenty for self, plenty for others. Now in the third place, let's talk about the third P, which is the boomerang practice. You see, you may believe in the boomerang principle. It doesn't cost you anything to believe in it. And you may believe that indeed you reap what you sow. You may believe in the boomerang promises. You see, you say, yes, I believe those promises are good. But that didn't cost you anything either. It isn't going to cost you, and it isn't going to pay you until you begin to practice the boomerang. You see, it's only when you begin to practice that the promises begin to come. Now, with that in mind, let's talk about the boomerang practice. In order to practice throwing God's boomerang, the first thing you've got to do is to make up your mind. St. Paul writes, each one must do as he has made up his mind. Now, nobody can make the decision to tithe for you. That's a decision you have to make for yourself. Now, let me ask you two questions. Do you believe that the Bible teaches that Christians should tithe? And I'm sure you would say, yes, I believe that. But secondly, do you plan someday that you will begin to tithe? And probably all of you who are not already tithing would say, well, yes, someday when I can afford it, I do plan to tithe. Well, let me tell you something. You're never going to tithe until first you make up your mind. You see, tithing isn't a matter of finances. Tithing is a matter of obedience. If you wait until you're able to afford to tithe, you'll never tithe. Tithing is a matter of faith and obedience. And you make up your mind to obey God. You decide, you act, nobody can do it for you. And when you do, you suddenly discover that you have put God's boomerang promises into operation in your life, and you've got all you need. Do you understand that? You see, before you begin to tithe, you simply cannot afford it. But once you make up your mind, once you decide, then you can afford to tithe. You have all you need for yourself, simply because you've set God's promises into operation in your life. You're blessed. You have enough for yourself, and you have enough for others. So the first thing in boomerang practice is to make up your mind. You see, a lot of you are divided in your mind. You want to, but you haven't decided. Now, the second thing about the boomerang practice is this. God wants us to give joyfully. In our scripture this morning, St. Paul writes, God loves a hilarious giver. Now, actually, the Greek word means just that. Now, God loves a hilarious giver. Imagine this scene. The collection plate is being passed down the aisle, and as it goes by and people put in their tithe, everybody begins to laugh, just out of sheer joy. Well, really, that's not too far-fetched for this reason, is that the joy of obedience comes when we've made up our mind. And you're not going to get any joy in giving as long as you're rebellious and disobedient and are not tithing. And when you make up your mind then and begin to do it, then the joy, the hilarity begins to flow. You see, the Bible says we're not to give under compulsion. You remember the story about the preacher who got up in the pulpit one Sunday and he announced, he said, there's a member of this congregation who's flirting with another man's wife. And if he doesn't put a $100 bill in the collection plate this morning, next Sunday I'm going to announce his name from the pulpit. And when the deacons counted the offering, they found six $100 bills. And then there was a $50 bill with a note that said, I'll bring the other 50 next Sunday. Now, that's giving under compulsion. God doesn't want us to give that way. He wants us to give because we love Him, and we want to obey Him, and we want to be in His will. You see, God commands us to tithe, and if we don't do that, we're out of God's will. How can He bless us when we are deliberately rebellious and disobedient in the one area where we can be perfectly obedient? You know, there are so many, God says to love my enemies. I find that impossible. But I can perfectly obey the command to tithe. I can give 10%. So if I'm disobedient in the one area of my life where I'm capable of perfect obedience, I'm out of God's will. Now, God's never going to compel us to tithe. But He wants us to practice the boomerang. He wants us to make up our minds and to do it cheerfully, doubled over in joy and laughter. Well, that's how you make a boomerang work. You decide. You make up your mind to tithe. And when you do that, you get back what you sow. That's the boomerang principle. And the boomerang promise is put into operation. Plenty of blessing. Plenty for yourself, plenty for others. And that ought to make everybody happy. Double over in joy when the boomerang comes back and lands at our feet. Let's pray. God, there are a lot of us who know all about the boomerang and how it works, and I rejoice in that. But Lord, it hurts my heart to know that there are a lot of us in this congregation whose minds haven't been made up and we're double-minded, and that's unhappy, that's uncomfortable. I pray for all of us, Lord, that we'll be obedient, we'll obey the command to tithe, to be in your will, so that the boomerang principle will begin to work in our lives and the promises will be ours. God, deliver us from fear of throwing the boomerang. Give us the faith to believe that it will come back and land at our feet. For we ask it in the Savior's name. Amen.